Hello and welcome to the Sport for Business podcast. I'm your host, Rob Hartnett, and in today's 64th episode of the show, we are starting a new series looking at the importance of children's sport.
So ultimately, when your child or your daughter is going through different exams or different pressures, going out and kicking a ball or throwing a ball around for an hour and a half and having some fun with their friends can be just the antidote to the stress of exams or revision or, you know, difficult periods in class.
We are joined by Anne Smith of Electric Ireland and Nora Sullivan, a PhD researcher and a player with Belfast Ravens, to look at some recent research and some lived experience. The Electric Ireland Game Changers partnership with the Irish FA is into its seventh year and is a real winner. So let's get into the conversation. So we're joined on the line now by Anne Smith from Electric Ireland in Northern Ireland. And Anne, you have been running the Game Changers programme in relation to young people and young girls and football in Northern Ireland for 7 years now. This research, which was published in the last couple of days, very much relates to that and is the latest iteration of it. Tell us a little bit about what the research tells us about how sport can be good for young girls in their lives and in their communities.
Yeah, so with Game Changers, we've been really passionate about trying to improve opportunities for girls to play and really develop the conversation around girls football in Northern Ireland. But as you say, we've been doing it for 7 years, so we're always looking for a new way to have these important conversations. And I think with the research, we did a webinar during lockdown around why do teenage girls drop out of sport. So during lockdown we were talking about this and we kept kind of coming back to it in our team meetings about, well, what can we do to help? We wanted to understand the benefits of playing sport. And one of the things that we wanted to understand was what parents knew about the benefits of team sport. And then the resilience conversation kind of followed. So we understand that there's so many more challenges that girls are facing now than we would have felt we would have faced in our childhood. And when we spoke to parents and we did the research with parents and PE teachers, what came back was that while some parents understood that the importance of resilience, two-thirds of them were unaware of the positive impact that sport has in building it. So if we're looking at later in life and the challenges that we're facing, and even teenage girls, the challenges they're facing in the here and now, the ability to cope and to bounce back or bounce forward, as some people talk about, is so key. And we have this amazing platform with Women in Sport and Game Changers to try and help parents understand how to better equip their daughters. So the research kind of came to life through all these different ways, Rob. It wasn't just we had a meeting and said we're going to do this. It kind of had been brewing for a while. But one of the things that really struck us was that less than half of parents think that their girls are more resilient than they once were. And we thought that was quite startling. So because we've been working on this campaign for so long, we know the power that team sports can have. And we wanted to develop the research to try and help other people see the positive impact that sport can have long after you stop playing. Like, it can build so much in you for later in life.
As I was looking at it, it was one of those kind of stop and pause moments, because we talk a lot about the benefits of sport, and those of us that know inherently know that sport is good for you. But sometimes we just take that as a truth, and we don't actually poke at it and prod it and explore how it would be viewed from outside. So that's exactly what this has done now. Yeah. And when you went into it, like, were you expecting a different set of answers to come out of it?
I think we were hoping that it would reinforce what we believed. Do you know, I think we were hoping that we would understand better how parents felt about what their daughters were going through. We knew that social media and body image and all those topics were going to come up, but what we wanted to have was a piece of research that would help us to understand how to equip parents better. You know, how to encourage them, what to encourage them in to try and build more resilience within their children and more life skills, you know, because life is hard for that demographic who are, 11 to 15, that's the kind of demographic that we're hitting.
Yeah, and like oftentimes when we do these things as well, we the individual answers come back and there is a sense, well, that's how I feel, but I'm not quite sure whether that's whether I'm alone or whether that's the sort of the general feeling of it. Did you get an opportunity to actually talk to those who you had surveyed to find out what they thought of the general reaction?
I didn't personally. So Aiken, our PR company, they conducted the research through iReach. But I did get, and I have it somewhere here, we did get a report through and it gave key quotes. You know, and some of the ones that I was looking at before we came on to this were hypercritical parents don't allow their daughters to feel everyone gets a medal. And these were quotes from The Role of Parents. Some of the PE teachers who we also did focus groups with felt that more parents were sending in notes for to get their daughters out of sport, which I find startling. But then when I look back to when I was at school, it was quite common. I'm sure it is quite common now. There was another quote, parents are mollycoddling so much and not pushing back on their girls. You know, where there's a generation of parents that are maybe saying, yes, whatever you think. And then one of the things that came through from a PE teacher was many parents don't know how important physical activities are for their daughter's mental health at such stressful times. And that was something that came out in the panel discussion that we had last week, where we had Jess Foy, the Glentoran women's captain, who's a PE teacher, saying that, I would well believe this, that ultimately when your child or your daughter's going through different exams or different pressures, going out and kicking a ball or throwing a ball around for an hour and a half and having some fun with their friends can be just the antidote to the stress of exams or revision or, you know, difficult periods in class.
It is one of those nice things that when you are playing sport, that that's really all you're thinking about.
Yeah, and you're present.
Out of your own head, which can sometimes be a really good thing. We're also joined by Nora Sullivan. Nora, not only a PhD student looking at this in very specific ways, but also a player with Belfast Ravens as well. How does that resonate with you about the benefits for your own headspace about going out there and kicking a ball with your mates in training and playing matches?
Sport has always been such an important part of my life, and I think I've probably tried every sport out there and loved the majority of them, but it has always been an escape for me. You know, it's just so, and be with your friends and kicking the ball around, so I think it really, it's just so important, especially when I was doing my GCSEs and A levels. Like, it was the one thing I would look forward to. I said, okay, if I get through all my studying, then I get to go to training and you know, have that release from the troubles that you go through in life. So I just think sport is fantastic.
Great. The other thing is that you came to Northern Ireland when you were 12.
Yes.
And you credit sport as being a really important way in which you were able to find your way into the new community as well. This research is specifically within that age range. And, you know, without it being too personal, but like, what are your memories of that time? Is there something that stands out for you in terms of the how that sport actually sort of worked on that? Like, oftentimes with children, and I know myself, you'll find that maybe it's not the most important thing, that they don't really want to get up and get out and go to training, but that when they do, they love it. But can you remember back to some of those days and how your parents might have actually just sort of either dragged or gently persuaded you?
Yeah, well, definitely. So when I moved here, 12 years old is a really awkward age for everyone, I think. And moving to, a new country, I didn't know anyone. I didn't have any friends. First day of school, I showed up and it was one of those things where, like, people talk to you, but then they turn around and talk about you. And it's really hard to, I think, find your friendship group, especially at 12 years old and when everyone else knows each other. And I really do credit sport to being the thing that, you know, helped me to make friends and help. It gave me a purpose. It, you know, I knew, okay, I'm here in school. What am I supposed to do? I joined all the after school sport clubs. And it really helped me find that friendship group. And it was also like, if I was having a time where I was struggling or missing my friends or feeling homesick, you know, when you're playing football is the same anywhere in the world, anywhere you go. So it was a comfort to me that even like I'm away from my family and friends back in America, but I've still got football and I've still got whatever other sports I was playing there to keep me going. And, you know, it definitely made me feel better about being in a new environment and helped me to fit in a bit.
Did you have to be good at sport when you were coming into a new group for it to make that connection? Or was it just important that you were willing to be part of the play?
I think I was just willing to be part of it. And also, like, it does help if you're good, but I just think that sport can give so much. It's sport mentally and physically is just fantastic to you. I mean, I know it's been said before, if the benefits of sport could be packed into a pill, it'd be the most prescribed drug in the world. And I truly believe that. So I do think, no matter, like, even at my age right now, I was with Jess Foy and Eliza Downing at the panel discussion, who are both international athletes. I very much am not. I play for Belfast Ravens, just a little club. And yes, we're not the best team. We're not in the championship or anything like that. But it's still just so, it just feels so good going. And like you said earlier, there are days where it's hard to get up and go to training, especially if it's raining and cold outside and you dread getting up and going. But once you're there and you're in that environment, it's like everything else lifts off your shoulders. And it really is just, you're there with the ball and with your friends and enjoying.
One thing I would say about Belfast Ravens, having been in and around the club game here for the last number of years, is you girls have the most fun. And I think that's what you brought to the panel discussion the other day, was that, yes, you've got a ready-made group of friends when you play a sport and you move around, but you can have so much fun together. And that's something that always comes through when you're standing on the sidelines watching the Ravens, but also through their social media. Rob, you have to follow them. They have some crack.
I definitely will. And all of our listeners as well. Tell us, what are the handles?
It is just Belfast Ravens. I'm pretty sure. I hope that's right.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, our club it's a lot more than just sport. We have so many social events. We're an over 18s club, and after every match, we're always going for a pint, no matter you win or you lose, you go and you have a bit of fun and relax. And I think it's really special that our club, whether you're 30 years old and haven't played football since you were in primary school, that's okay. You can fit into one of our three teams. Or if you're in your 40s and just want to start for the first time ever, also that's okay. And you can join. Or you have the people who have come through playing football their whole life. So there really is a whole range of abilities. And people come in with so many different backgrounds and so many different experiences through life. Yet when you're on the pitch, you're all together, you're having fun, you're encouraging each other. There's always 30 odd girls from one of the other squads there supporting you. So I do think it's a really special club. And I think without having football there to be able to bring us all together, we would never be friends, you know?
It is a great thing about sport that you can watch it on the television and you can go to the National Football Stadium or you can go to a local ground and watch the game. But then the next day you can actually go out and play. You can be a part of it as well, which doesn't happen when you go to the cinema. You can't all of a sudden become a part of a Hollywood blockbuster or anything like that. And yet, Anne, you did actually translate this research into a play as well. So there's a whole load of different cultural crossovers there. What was the inspiration for doing that?
Well, I think as a campaign team, we had worked with the arts before. You may remember in 2021, we partnered Tara Lynn O'Neill and her play Rough Girls, which was produced and shown at the Lyric Theatre, and we were their title partner. So we had a bit of pedigree already of combining the arts and football. And when we did the research, while it's interesting to talk about and you can sit down and read it, we wanted to make it more tangible, but the key thing in it was to make it more relatable for that younger audience. So Aiken, our PR company, came up with the idea of having a play. We approached Tinderbox Theatre Company, who are an independent theatre company here, and gave them a really tight brief based on the research. Like, it was all, we wanted them to understand where we were coming from, and we gave them lots of information about the Game Changers campaign so far as well. And they came back with a script that gave us goosebumps, and there was very few tweaks. We knew that they'd nailed the brief for us. And also then we decided when we were putting on the play that to make it more impactful. We wanted to have the panel discussions. So then we started to think about who we wanted to be involved in that. And we were really key that we wanted that, yes, absolutely, that elite sport leadership element. And Eliza Downey was perfect for that. Jess Foy, Glentoran women's captain, met the brief in terms of being a real team player, a leader, but also a PE teacher who could speak to what girls are going through and how to motivate them. And then Nora was just perfect because she plays team sport. She has such a compelling story about moving country at such an impressionable age and using sport as her anchor. So what we are hoping to do, or what we're planning to do, is we've got a brilliant recording of the play, we've got a brilliant recording of the panel discussion, and then we've worked with Pieta, who we partner with on Darkness Into Light, to create a lesson plan, a resource pack that teachers can use. So ultimately this pack will be sent to all the secondary and grammar schools, so all the post-primary schools in Northern Ireland, and the PE teachers there who we have spoken to through the research and are crying out for these kind of resources. They can have a 4 or 5 week lesson plan where they sit down with their class, talk about what it means to be resilient, play the video of the play, then maybe play the video of the panel discussion, and then each week work through the workbook that really explores how we can build resilience and coping strategies in our young people. So we feel, I know we've gone on a bit long, but we feel like we've created a package that will really help schools to explore what it means to be resilient. But also the research gives us the grounding, if you like, that parents and academics and school teachers and guardians, aunts, uncles, grandparents will read it and go, yeah, do you know, that's right. Maybe keeping our daughters involved in team sport will build something in them for later in life. And yeah, we're really thrilled with the work that we've done.
Yeah, it's great. I've seen the rough cut and the video will come out. You'll be able to find it, you know, search for Game Changers. Yeah. NI, it'll be on the Irish FA website, it'll be on Sport for Business as well. So there'll be an opportunity for all of you to actually see that. Can I come back to you, Nora, and let me take you off the pitch and into your kind of your day job of a PhD student. Now you're looking at those very benefits of sport, but how important is it from you as a researcher to actually find that this kind of work is going out there into the real world and being painted in a way that young girls and parents and those from outside of dry research can actually really sort of get a grip of it?
Yeah, well, I think it's really important that the research we do, like has been said, you know, it needs to be something that can land with the group you're looking at. And so for me, my key area is adolescence and sport is such a powerful tool and you can get so much across with it. So we're looking at creating an intervention that will be delivered across schools and sport clubs to adolescents. And the key thing in that intervention is that every session, while they're playing these games and having fun and enjoying it, there's always that hidden meaning in it and they're getting something out of it, whether they realize it or not. And we'll have them play a game. And by the end, they're like, when you're going over the messages saying, what do you think? Why do you think we did this? Or, you know, it kind of clicks with them. You can see a light bulb being like, oh yeah, playing that game, I realized I've done this. And so it's really important that we take what we learn in the research and we turn it into a program that adolescents can take part in, and that not only do they get the benefits from it themselves, but that at the end, when we're doing a debrief of each game or each session, that they realize it themselves and say, oh, you're right, I have done that throughout that session.
And it's not only relevant to football. I know that the research is specifically, and I know that Electric Ireland sponsorship is around with the Irish FA and your own playing with Belfast Ravens, but a large part of the benefit of this comes from the physical activity and the endorphins that are released in there. And even if it's an individual sport, you can do it collectively as well, whether that be running or walking or, you know, playing netball or any particular kind of a sport. Is that something which people understand as well, that it's not just, because there are many people who are introverts, who are a little bit shy and who might not be comfortable going into a team environment, but who should still be able to get the benefits of sport?
Absolutely. Yeah. So I'm actually working with a mental health charity based in North Belfast called TAMI, Tackling Awareness of Mental Health Issues. And they've been running a program for over 11 years now. So, and they, it's a sport-based mental health program. So that sport can change, even especially when they go into a school and they run this program, and it has all the lessons integrated into each game they're playing. It can be a different sport. I mean, even in schools, they try to do things that the kids typically won't play. So lacrosse is one they've tried before, or, you know, hockey, netball, handball, anything at all. But then also that program can be so easily tailored to any specific sport club. So you have the base of the game, you have the messages behind it and the learning objectives, and then that can be no matter what, even if it's gymnastics, tennis, whatever it is, the programs can be tailored. And I think it's really important that it's known that whether it's a team sport or not, you know, you get these benefits from it.
For sure. And Anne, if I can finish up with you, you know, sponsorship and commercial partnerships can sometimes be there for a particular reason to, you know, in your case, you know, sell more energy packages and somewhat more prosaic. But what Game Changers has done has really sort of cut much deeper than that and gone into areas of society and areas of the way in which we live our lives that are making them better. Is that something which you always felt this program and this campaign was capable of, or is it something that has really grown over the years that you've been doing it?
I think it's always an opportunity to do good. And I think that with sponsorship, I remember Adele McCarthy, who was who looked after the sponsorship portfolio for Electric Ireland for a long time, always talked about trying to make the properties stronger through the sponsorship. And I suppose that's what we've tried to do. And we wanted to really live out the brand values as well of being brave and caring and building trust. And I think sponsorship can allow some brands to really do that. And women in sport up here is a societal issue at times. I feel like things have just changed so much, thankfully, in the last 7 years, and we're really proud that we're part of it. But yes, it's always been an objective to make a difference and not just stick our logo onto things and walk away. We wanted every piece of activity that we've ever done. And I was reviewing all the key pieces of activity before we came on, and I think we've done it. I think we've tried really hard to make a difference and to always have at the back of our mind, well, how is this helping women's sport, and how is this helping girls who are coming up through? And it's maybe because I have a young daughter, it's always in the back of my mind, but yeah, certainly it's definitely been part of the campaign planning always.
And it's always good that it gives you a platform that you have to go higher and faster and better and stronger for next year as well.
It's keep been the ideas coming.
Look, it's been a pleasure talking to both of you. Hopefully we'll see you. We're going to host a special conference this year down in Dublin on Friday, May the 17th, about children and sport. And this is exactly the kind of programme that we will be looking to feature as part of that discussion, so that things can be done a little bit better each year. That's all that we ask. And it's certainly what you've been delivering in this. So Anne Smith from Electric Ireland and Nora Sullivan, PhD student and Belfast Ravens fun player. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Rob.
Thank you, Rob.
Thanks to Anne and Nora for taking the time out to chat. We'll have the video of that one-woman play up on Sport for Business shortly, and we will be hosting a special conference in Dublin all about children and sport on Friday, May 17th. You can find all the details at sportforbusiness.com. You can keep on top of the commercial world of sport by subscribing to the Sport for Business podcast, which drops every Tuesday and Thursday on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from. All the details are at sportforbusiness.com. Thanks a million for taking the time to listen in today.